Good morning. It's April 24th, and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. In a momentous event, bridging past and present, four Aboriginal spears, taken over 250 years ago by James Cook's crew, have been returned to the La Perouse Aboriginal community. This return not only marks a significant cultural milestone, but also a step toward reconciliation and a deeper understanding of shared histories between Britain and Australia. The spears, known as the Gwegl spears, were part of a collection of 40 originally taken in 1770 during Cook's landing at Botany Bay. Since 1771, these artefacts have resided within the Cambridge Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology at Trinity College. Their return was facilitated through the Australian Government's Return of Cultural Heritage Program, under the guidance of the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, alongside the National Museum of Australia. Set to be displayed permanently at a new visitor centre in Cannell, Kamai. The spears will serve as a poignant reminder of the La Perouse community's enduring connection to their history, traditions and ancestors. The significance of this event extends beyond the physical return of the spears. It embodies a broader commitment to acknowledging and rectifying past injustices through cultural repatriation. The handover ceremony, anticipated to be a moment of profound reflection and celebration, will feature readings from the voyage journals of James Cook and Joseph Banks. Representatives from the La Perouse Aboriginal community, along with members of the Australian government, will share their perspectives, further solidifying this act of repatriation as a pivotal moment in the journey toward mutual respect and understanding between cultures. In a historic first, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has completed a trek along the Kokoda Track in Papua New Guinea, marking a significant moment of remembrance and diplomacy. This journey, alongside Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marapa, is a powerful gesture honouring the sacrifices of Australian forces and aiming to strengthen the ties between the two nations. The trek, which is a poignant tribute to the Australian troops who fought during World War II, concluded with a dawn service on Anzac Day. This act of remembrance was further emphasised by the Australian government's commitment of $120,000 towards the creation of overseas memorials for Anzac soldiers, ensuring that their legacy continues to be honoured. Veterans Affairs. Minister Matt Keogh has highlighted the government's dedication to recognising the service and sacrifice of military personnel, both at home and abroad. This pilgrimage not only commemorates the diggers of Kokoda, but also celebrates the strategic foresight of former Australian Prime Minister John Curtin, who played a crucial role during the war. The leaders' joint commitment to peaceful coexistence and a strong security partnership underscores the enduring relationship between Australia and Papua New Guinea. This collaboration is particularly significant in the context of the current geopolitical climate, where the strategic importance of the region is magnified amidst the power struggle between the US and China. At the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, a seemingly ordinary night took a turn when comedian Arj Barker found himself at the centre of controversy. The issue? A crying baby in the audience, leading to a request that sparked a wider debate on parental rights at public events and the sanctity of live performances. The incident began when Barker asked Trish Ferranda, a mother, to leave his show because her 7-month-old baby was crying. Ferranda countered that her baby was merely making typical baby sounds, not causing a significant disturbance. Barker defended his stance, emphasizing his responsibility to provide an enjoyable experience for the entire audience and noting the show's age recommendation of 15 years and older. He clarified that the issue was the noise level, not the fact that Ferranda was breastfeeding at the time. The situation escalated as several women exited the show in solidarity with Ferranda. Politician Ellen Sandel also weighed in, criticising the incident as an unnecessary humiliation for new mothers, who already faced numerous societal barriers. The festival's policy allows infants, but advises parents to sit at the back and to exit swiftly should their baby become noisy. This incident has ignited a debate on social media, with opinions divided between supporting Barker's decision for the sake of the show's quality and advocating for greater understanding and accommodation for parents of infants. In the aftermath, both Barker and Ferranda expressed regret over the incident, acknowledging the disruption it caused to the evening's entertainment. This unfolding story raises important questions about the expectations and allowances for parents at public events, and the challenges performers face in maintaining the integrity of their shows. As the conversation continues, it highlights the delicate balance between inclusivity and the preservation of performance quality. Breaking barriers and setting new heights, Catherine Bennell-Pegg has just become the first Australian woman to qualify as an astronaut, completing a rigorous 12-month training program at the European Astronaut Centre in Germany. This remarkable achievement not only places her among an elite group of space-ready professionals, but also marks a significant milestone for Australia's presence in the global space race. From an impressive pool of 22,500 applicants, Bennell-Pegg emerged as one of just six individuals to graduate from this demanding program, now officially deemed spaceflight ready. While there's no immediate ticket to the stars, her qualification opens the door for her potential selection as the first astronaut to represent Australia on a space mission. Upon her return, Bennell-Pegg will resume her influential role as the Director of Space Technology at the Australian Space Agency. Her journey from Adelaide to the stars is not just a personal triumph, but a beacon of inspiration, aiming to ignite the dreams of young Australians to explore careers in the burgeoning space sector. However, the journey to space is fraught with challenges, not least of which is financial. Australia's space endeavours have hit a snag with recent budget cuts, including a significant $77 million reduction in industry funding. Despite these setbacks, there's a strong push from within the sector to propel Australia forward. Visionaries like Dr. Malcolm Davis of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute are advocating for increased investment in space technology, including hypersonic space planes and reusable launch vehicles, to ensure Australia secures its share of the projected $1.5 trillion space industry by 2040. Bennell-Pegg's historic graduation is more than just a personal achievement. It's a clarion call to the nation about the vast potential of space exploration and the critical need for investment in the next generation of Australian space pioneers. In the spotlight, the Star Entertainment Group is under intense scrutiny, facing an inquiry that could determine its future in the casino business in New South Wales. This inquiry is not just a routine checkup. It's a deep dive into the company's operations, culture, and its very suitability to hold a casino license again. The stakes were made clear when Executive Chair David Foster stepped forward, admitting that, as things stand, the Star is not ready to have its NSW casino license reinstated. This candid admission sets the tone for an investigation that has already unearthed concerning revelations. Among the discussions at the inquiry were text messages between Foster and the former CEO, hinting at efforts to remove a special manager and even contemplating a class action against this individual and the state regulator. The inquiry's findings so far paint a troubling picture of the Star's operations. Allegations have surfaced of financial opacity, with the company accused of not being transparent about its debt levels and earnings. More disturbing are claims of falsified welfare checks on poker machine players and attempts to misrepresent financial losses in the company's books. Foster also shed light on his involvement in the former CEO's departure and how he has communicated with the company's workforce amid these challenges. The financial ramifications of these revelations are significant. The Star Entertainment Group is grappling with a downturn in revenue, attributed to its efforts to clean up its act. But beyond the immediate revenue impact, the company faces potential profit declines due to the cost of remediation efforts and looming regulatory fines. As the inquiry continues, the focus remains sharply on whether the Star Entertainment Group can address these serious concerns and prove itself worthy of regaining its casino license in New South Wales. This has been your daily brief in Australia News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.